Welcome, everybody. Our topic tonight is comforting others from 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 7. And this is a remembrance of Paul's experience of faithfulness. And we are to look to others as an example, as an encouragement to our faith. Bob's going to lead off by playing hymn number 487, Faith of Our Fathers. Amen. Buddy, would you lead us off with the Lord's Prayer tonight, please?
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Amen. The Christian life is to be not just a consideration of doctrine, but it's an experience of daily walk and daily testimony. And we pattern ourselves after the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the ultimate in the sufferings that he experienced. He was the sinless one who shed his own blood for our salvation. Dan, would you lead us off with singing hymn number 175.
Condemned he Hallelujah, what a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Amen. Thank you. And this passage tonight, Paul is writing to the Corinthians. They had not been overly receptive to him, and yet he's affirming his own experience to encourage them, to comfort them, and even to bring salvation to those who had rejected his teachings. Dan, would you read 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 7?
Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation.
Amen. Thank you. John 16:33 reminds us, that in the words of the Lord Jesus himself, that in the world you will have tribulations, yet I have overcome the world. And this is a reminder to us that we can rejoice even in our sufferings, even in the unfair situations that we encounter, even in the pain and the diseases that we experience, in the persecution that we might face from time to time. All of these things should point us to Christ and to remember that God in His sovereign purpose has a reason for bringing us through such experiences. Romans 8:28 we often recite as an encouragement to the believer. It's a reminder to us that God works out all things for good to those who love God and who are the called according to His purpose. He works them out for ultimately for His good, or for His glory and for our good. And thus, there is a real purpose. His reason for allowing these things is not a vengeance or a vindictive nature on His part. It's an allowance that the experiences might perfect us and sanctify us to make us ready for heaven. The reminder from James 1:17 is that all of these things, all good gifts, come from above. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. And thus, even what we would seem to think as bad or difficulties or evil, God allows them for a purpose. So when we experience any kind of pain, any kind of suffering, any kind of problem, it's a reminder to us of what Christ has suffered for our sake. And this passage emphasizes the blessing that we ought to give to God even in the midst of troubles. We can't just praise God in the good times, we need to praise Him in all circumstances. Because He does have a sovereign reason, a plan, a purpose for all the things that we experience. Verse 3 says, blessed be God. And Paul here is using kind of a Hebrew construction. He's not praising multiple gods here. He's emphasizing that we are to bless God or to praise God. And then he uses a couple of descriptive terms to emphasize who God is. That God the Father is even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the Father of mercies. He's the God of all comfort. And the way in which that verse is constructed, it's an emphasis upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our example. He's the pattern for everything that we experience. He has experienced every temptation such as is common to man. But he was without sin. And therefore, he is that perfect example that we are to follow. He tells us to be holy as I am holy. But because he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's a reminder to us of not only the humanity of Christ, but the deity of Christ. His Father is none other than God, the eternal God. And thus, we're reminded that Christ was, even with God the Father and with the Holy Spirit, he was there in the beginning. John tells us elsewhere that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Christ is often described as that living Word. But because he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he then qualifies for the next two descriptive terms. He's the Father of mercies. And the Father of mercies reminds us of the fact that we are undeserving of all the blessings that we experience through him. We do not deserve it. We could not earn our salvation. We could never be good enough for a holy and a righteous God. For the Bible reminds us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But there was one, and that's the Lord Jesus himself, God incarnate, God in the flesh. And therefore, he demonstrates his mercy to us through his work in our hearts and in our lives. He's therefore the Father of mercies. But we're also told here that he is the God of all comfort. And because of what Christ did for us, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of tribulation, even in the midst of persecution, we can glorify his name. We can praise him because with Christ as our example, we can be comforted. He reminds us here in verse 4 that we are comforted in all of our tribulation. Any kind of trouble, any kind of problem, any kind of suffering that we experience, we can be comforted. And we should be comforted. But there's a purpose for this. It's not just to encourage our faith. It ought certainly to encourage our faith, knowing that God is sovereign, that he is in control of every situation. But we see here in this verse 4 the secondary purpose for the reason in which he allows us to endure tribulation so that others might be comforted in any tribulation. And thus, we can be an example. We can be a testimony, a witness of faith to others whom we encounter. It might be other Christians who are observing the way in which we experience pain or illness or disease or persecution. Or it might be an unbeliever who sees the way in which we react is different than the way in which the world reacts to problems and pain and suffering. And therefore, sometimes that suffering, that pain which a Christian experiences can be a testimony to an unbeliever, an encouragement, a motivator to faith, so that they too look to the Savior for help and for comfort in the midst of their trouble. Paul says here in verse 4 that we are comforted in all of our tribulation so that others might be comforted in any tribulation. It might not necessarily be the same kind of difficulty. Sometimes it is, as others have the same ailments or the same pain or the same problems that we have. But the way in which the Christian experiences and endures trouble and is comforted in the midst of that trouble can be an encouragement and a comfort to others in any kind of problem or trouble that they face. So that's a further reason why we ought to simply rejoice in the midst of our sufferings. In the midst of our problems, we ought to praise God and thus trust Him that He will work out His purpose. He'll build our faith through, as we noted before in the book of Romans, we're told that our tribulations produce experience. The patient endurance of our troubles results in the experience, the conviction, the absolute assurance that God is there with us. He said He will never leave us nor forsake us. But in addition to the experience that we gain in our own lives, the building up the confidence of the faith that we have, Paul tells the Romans also that this experience produces hope. It's an absolute belief and a conviction that God will provide for any experience, any trouble that we experience in the future. And that's the same thought here that Paul is writing to the Corinthians, that we have the conviction, that we have the assurance that He is able to meet our every difficulty and that He will bring us through it. He doesn't promise to take us out of our troubles. He said He's leaving us in the world that we might be a testimony, that we might be the salt and light of the earth, that we might be a light in the darkness. But though He hasn't promised to take us out of the world or out of our troubles, He does promise to bring us through them. And thus, again, affirming His sovereignty, His absolute purpose in whatever He allows in the lives of His people. So when we experience these things, we ought not to wallow in self-pity or complaining or grumbling or moaning, but we ought to praise the Lord. We're told here further that the abundance, from Paul's personal experience, the abundance of sufferings resulted in an abundance of comfort. He focused not upon his own problems, but upon the sufferings that Christ had endured for His sake. And thus, we too as believers, as Christians, must look to Christ. We must remember what He experienced and what He suffered on our behalf, and thus we are enabled to endure and to persevere in whatever troubles that we face. Again, in verse 6, we see that whether Paul or whether we as Christians are experiencing tribulation or suffering, or whether we're experiencing comfort in the good times, it all has a purpose. It's all for the comfort and for the salvation of others. So again, it's not just to be a good example. It's not just to encourage them or to empathize with their situation. The ultimate objective of many of these trials and many of these tribulations is that the gospel message might go forth and that others might be saved. So this can happen both through the tribulations that Christians experience and also through the comforts that we experience. When we receive an answer to prayer, when our pain is relieved, or when an illness is cured, or whether we endure persecution for His name's sake, whatever the trial, whatever the tribulation, whatever the temptation, when we trust Him, we can have victory. And this can be an encouragement to others, and it might even result in the salvation of family or friends or people that we encounter just in the daily routine. Other people watch the way Christians respond to the situations, and they oftentimes are convicted and converted as a result of the faithful testimony of His people. So this reminder from the Apostle Paul here to the Corinthians is a relevant reminder to Christians today that we ought to praise the Lord. We ought to seek His face in the midst of all troubles and trials. If we are experiencing comfort and answers to prayer, we certainly ought to praise Him. But we can also praise Him in the midst of the difficulties. In the midst of the trials, He also receives the glory and the praise. This gives us comfort, it gives us hope, it gives us assurance, it gives us confidence to experience whatever the Lord has for us in the future. He's told us that in these last days, evil men will wax worse and worse. One of the normal consequences of aging is disease and pain and trouble. But this, too, is the natural way of things. But even in the midst of that, we can glorify His name. We can praise the Lord at all times, in all circumstances, and thus we can even express the sentiment of that hymn that Dan is going to close with. Hymn number 580, It Is Well With My Soul. The scripture reminds us that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. But we're also encouraged that as these times grow darker, as persecution increases, as the uncertainty of economic failure occurs, as pestilence and disease and earthquakes occur, as all of these natural calamities and all of these problems occur, we are not to panic, we're not to despair, we're to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. Thus, we comfort others by faithfully enduring all that, even as the hymn writer says, all that is traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. God has a purpose. May His grace be with you all. Amen.